Better, faster, greener. Supermicro Resource Saving Server and Storage Systems with Intel Xeon Scalable Processors reduce the cost and environmental impact of your enterprise infrastructure. Learn more at supermicro.com.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Have you been duped by robocalls from overseas? Here's some disappointing news that was completely legal. Question is, can the FCC change that? Looking into it after these tech headlines. The FBI is currently examining whether the woman charged with stealing data from millions of Capital One customers successfully hit other targets. The alleged hacker, Paige Thompson, appears to have made online postings suggesting she had dozens of purloined files. UniCredit and Michigan State University are mentioned in the postings, as is Ford. A Ford spokeswoman said the company is investigating. Like Capital One, these companies use Amazon Web Services as more firms embrace cloud computing for its speed. But the journal reports that the widening probe points to a possible weakness. A hacker who figures out a way around the security fence of one cloud customer not only gets to that customer's data, but also has a method that might be usable against others. The journal's looking into it. Read more at WSJ.com. Verizon added more wireless customers in the second quarter than some analysts expected. This is as the carrier stepped up its promotions and pushed to bring faster 5G wireless service to more cities. The company has put upgrading its network to 5G at the heart of its corporate strategy and is working to identify the best ways to generate fresh revenue from business and consumers alike. Earlier this week, Verizon turned on the faster service in parts of Washington, Indianapolis, Atlanta, and Detroit. To date, its 5G signal in cities like Chicago has been ultra-fast but spotty, in part because it uses high-frequency airwaves that don't travel long distances. The journal reports that people with autism are hot hires for artificial intelligence jobs. Ernst & Young, Dell, Microsoft, and other companies are hiring autistic applicants for these jobs through neurodiversity programs. Autistic workers are often hyper-focused, high analytical thinkers with an exceptional proficiency for technology. Meanwhile, many autistic adults lack jobs. About 42% of autistic students who had special education in high school had no paid job in the first 6 years after leaving high school. CompTIA, a tech trade group, notes that the IT jobless rate fell to 1.3% in May, a 20-year low, intensifying competition for scarce talent. Coming up, overseas robocalls. As we aim to outlaw this malicious spoofing, as the journal calls it, will it solve the robocall problem, remains the question.
Better, faster, greener. Supermicro Resource Saving Server and Storage Systems with Intel Xeon Scalable Processors reduce the cost and environmental impact of your enterprise infrastructure. Learn more at supermicro.com.
Robocallers from overseas constantly trick U.S. consumers by disguising their phone numbers. While this has been perfectly legal, the FCC aims to change that. The Wall Street Journal's J.R. Whalen has more.
How often do you look at your phone when it rings or vibrates and it's from a number oddly very similar to your own? It's probably a scam of some kind, and those types of calls are illegal if they originate from within the U.S., but Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krauss is here with details on how, up to now, it's been a different story for calls coming from abroad. So, Sarah, loopholes in the law have allowed these types of calls from overseas to be legal?
That's right. So it may be surprising, but in fact, calls coming from overseas that fake the number, spoof the number, with the intent to trick or deceive or defraud Americans are actually legal until now. And so what happened today is the FCC actually just voted to make that explicitly illegal. So that international rule or rules for international callers would match what is the case for calls that originate within the U.S.
So that vote occurred on Thursday, August 1st, and that could give U.S. phone companies some freedom to block those calls.
Yes, it does patch up sort of another loophole in the U.S. regulatory framework that immediately will not stop the torrent of robocalls. It probably won't even make a dent. What it does do, though, is it gives regulators and enforcers, to the extent that they bring a case, it gives them a bit more leverage, meaning that, you know, to the extent that a foreign caller had U.S. domestic assets, it might make it easier for enforcers to seize that later. The other thing that might happen is the FCC recently gave phone companies greater ability to block scam calls and to sort of look at their network traffic and try to spot bad traffic and block it. So by making this behavior explicitly illegal, it may give phone companies more confidence and more comfort in going ahead and blocking what looks potentially suspect.
You know, these annoying robocalls are the top consumer complaint at the FCC. The agency got 35,000 complaints just as of July the 1st. And, you know, if they got 35,000 complaints, you figure that it has to be 135,000 people being annoyed by this. Mm-hmm. U.S. phone companies are implementing something called Shake and Stir. What exactly is that?
It's a call verification protocol. So basically what it does is the carrier that originates the phone call says, Joe Smith, who's making this call, has the right to use the number that he's calling from. And as that call makes its way through the network and is handed off to different carriers, they're all sort of passing the baton and saying, this is still legitimate. It's still Joe Smith. He still has the right to use this number. And so that when that call arrives on your cell phone, you see a green check or some indication that this is a verified call. And what that's meant to do is just give you comfort to answer the phone in situations where you maybe don't recognize the phone number. The challenge with it is that it is only just starting to be deployed. So just because you see a call that's not verified doesn't mean it's a bad call. What it helps to do more than anything, though, is create this sort of chain of custody, this footprint of the phone call, which could help regulators sort of work backwards and find out where things went off the wires or in calls that are not verified, which carriers are touching them.
And there are some instances where calls that seem to be spoofing or seem to be some sort of a scam could actually have some legitimacy to them.
Yes. And this is one of the tricky parts in governing spoofing is that there are some, quote unquote, legitimate forms of spoofing. So if you're a doctor, for example, and you want to call your patients from your mobile phone, but you might not want to hand that out freely, you might spoof the office number so that it looks like you're calling from the office. I don't think many people would consider that nefarious. So to say that spoofing is illegal doesn't quite get us to the solution. So what regulators are trying to do is be more explicit and say spoofing for malicious purposes is illegal, both for calls that originate in the U.S. and overseas.
And so on my phone, if I call you and I have a different number come up on the caller ID coming from my phone, that's the definition of spoofing?
Yeah, spoofing is sort of faking the number that you're calling from.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krause here in our studio. Sarah, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your tech news briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.